The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Echet Yebamot has been dedicated and sponsored by our dear friend Mr. Isaac Jamal and his wife in honor of his family and Hatzlacha Varvaha Bechol Ma'asei Yadav. May be Zocheh to raise his children in the ways of the Torah. They should give him much nachat. He should have many more children with health and happiness. Chen v'chesed b'enei Hashem u'b'nei Adam. And he should have beracha b'kol mikol kol. Him and his entire family. Amen. Daf Tzaddik. Today's daf has been dedicated by our dear friend, Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem yishmeru v'hayehu. May God give him beracha, blessing, hatzlacha, success, health and happiness. Peace of mind for him, his wife, his family, his children. And Be'ezrat Hashem, may he enjoy prosperity and good things. Amen. Today's daf has been studied in Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem tenichenu began Eden. Amen. We begin today's daf on Sadi Amud Rishon, and we start from the top line, starting with the words Tashema. We're in the middle of a sugya. Rav Hasdan made a statement in yesterday's daf that if a person takes terumat teme'ah in order to cover his obligation on his terumah, on his pile of tehora, so he takes from the teme'ah goods, I should say it like that, he takes it from the teme'ah goods for the tehora goods. So he said, if he did it b'mezid, it's nothing. Lo asav ve'lo kelum. Which means, not only does he have to take it again, but what he took is considered non-terumah. So the question of the rabbis against Rav Hasdan was, min ha-Torah, taking terumah teme'ah, terumah is terumah. Min ha-Torah, what he did counts. We learned that from the statement of Rav Elai. Rav Elai brought a pasuk from the Torah. The pasuk says, "Velo tisu alav het barimechem et chelbo mimenu." It says, "Do not commit a sin when you separate the good for terumah." Now, how could you make a sin? The sin would be that if you took from the bad product to cover the good product. But the Gemara said it's mashma that it's considered terumah. So the same thing, if you took from the teme'ah product to cover the teorah product, it's going to be terumah. So the Gemara's question was, do the rabbis have the ability to uproot something from the Torah? If the Torah is calling it terumah, can the rabbis come along and say it's not terumah? That was the question from Rav Hasdan. So now the Gemara today continues to try to prove that yes, indeed, the rabbis do have the ability to be oker davar min haTorah. So we start. Tashema achal terumah teme'ah. We're talking about a non-kohen. He ate terumah teme'ah, as she says, b'shogeg. So now he has to compensate the kohanim. So he says, "Meshalem hulin tehorin." He has to pay the kohen hulin, regular foods, tehorim. So he ate tameh stuff, he pays back tahor stuff. Rashi, "Meshalem hulin tehorin dichtiv venatan the kohen et hakodesh davar haraui liyot kodesh." So you have to give him something that's raui liyot kodesh. So from there, he's got to give him hulin tehorin. Shilem hulim teme'in, but let's say he paid him back with hulim teme'in. And he ate tameh and he paid back tameh. Sumchus omer, Sumchus says, Meshum Rabbi Meir, Beshogeg, Tashtumav, Tashtumin. Which means, if he did it Beshogeg, which means, he paid back teme'in thinking that they were tehorim, made a mistake. So then already it says what he did is good, his tashlum is a tashlum, it's considered a payment, he's off the hook. B'mezid, but if he did it on purpose, which means he ate terumat teme'ah, and on purpose he paid back hulin teme'in to the kohen, and tashlumav tashlumin, it's not considered a payment. Which means he has to pay him again. Rashi says, dekansinande, we can ask the guy. V'achamim omrim, and achim kalom and say, ehad ze ve'ehad ze, whether he did it b'shogeg, whether he did it b'mezid. What did he do b'shogeg or mezid? He paid the kohen back, cholin teme'in. Tashlumin, tashlumav, tashlumin. The payment is considered a payment, which means the kohen keeps it. V'chozer u'mishalem cholin teorin. But he got to pay again. He has to pay cholin teorin. So we have a great machlokin between Rabbi Meir and the Hakamim. So let's just review this statement to get it clear. The case is talking about a non-kohen, Zar, ate terumah teme'ah. Okay, everybody agrees he has to pay back the Kohen now, something. So it says, if he paid back Cholin Tehorin, which is what he's supposed to pay back, then everybody says, it's okay. The question is, if he paid back Temein. So there, Rabbi Meir came along and said, well, if he did a Bishogeg, he didn't know. Then already teshlumav teshlumin. The payment is a payment, and it's fine. But if he did it b'mezid, which means he knew that it was cholin temein, he paid back the kohen cholin temein, no good. In teshlumav teshlumin. Hachamim come along and say there's no difference between shogeg and mezid. Both cases, in teshlumav teshlumin, which means what he paid is considered payment, and he has to repay him again cholin teorin. That is the din. Now, we should point out that there's a special law that has to be known as a preface now before we go further. Hakamim tell us that we know if a person, let's say a zar, eats teruma b'mezid, so he's hayab mita b'idei shamayim. If he did it, let's say b'shogeg, he ate teruma, so then the deen is he has to pay kapara. What does the kapara mean? He has to pay what he ate back to the kohanim, and he has to add a chomesh. He has to add a fifth. That's the Torah. Now, at the time that he pays the Kohen, whatever he's going to pay the Kohen turns into Terumah. So you have to keep in mind, in this case, when we're telling him to pay back Cholin Teorin, that Cholin Teorin turns into Terumah. Now, obviously it's going to turn into Terumah, Teorah. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to start analyzing. We analyze the case. B'mezid en tashlumav tashlumin. He said, if he did it b'mezid, right, that he paid back tameh stuff. So we said, what? En tashlumav tashlumim, his payment is not considered a payment. So the Gemara says, wait. Tavo alav beracha. Which means, on the contrary, instead of saying that his payment is not a payment, he should be blessed. Why should he be blessed? So, that she says, amai kanastle. Why did you knast the guy? My mezid yeshkan afal pi sheyodeh shen temein netkavenu letashlumin hagunim. Which means, even though they were indeed tamer stuff that he's paying back, but you gotta go after the guy's intent. The guy's intent was to pay back. What do you mean pay back? The Gemara explains. De achal mine midi de lo kahazile bime tumato v'kam mishalem midi dekahazile bime tumato. Rashi, the akal mine, the guy ate, the zar ate terumah teme'ah, v'afagav de tashlumin na'asim terumah v'lo hazulu bime tumah hamia le tashlumin me'elya ikhaven. Which means, true, what the guy ate terumah teme'ah. Terumah teme'ah, obviously a kohen is not allowed to eat. Okay? V'afalgav, I'm reading Rashi. V'afalgav de tashlumin na'asim terumah. Now when he paid back cholin teme'in, what did that cholin teme'in become? Becomes terumah teme'ah. Like the law. V'lo hazule bime tum'ah. And therefore the kohen is not allowed to eat these items, obviously. Ha'miya le tashlumin me'elya echaven. But the guy at least had kavana for a good tashlumim. Again, what is the reason why the Gemara doesn't understand the mezid case? So we repeat again, one more time. Why should you say if he did it b'mezid that you're going to kones him and say et tashlumin tashlumin, that it's not going to become terumah and he's not going to be off the hook? Why? What's the problem? He ate terumah teme'ah, which means what can a kohen do with terumah teme'ah? Can't do anything with it. He cannot eat it. The only thing it's going to be ra'ui for is hasaka. Anyway, if you would have given the coin to terumah teme'ah, all he'd be able to do was make hasaka. All he'd be able to burn it. So what did he do? He paid him back cholin teme'in. Now this guy didn't know that the cholin teme'in are going to turn into terumah. So he's thinking, I'm a good guy. I'm giving the coin back cholin. He can eat cholin. Once the coin's tameh, there's no problem for him to eat the cholin teme'in. So he's thinking in his brain, I'm giving him back something better. Right? I ate an item from the Kohen that he couldn't do anything with except burn. So I'm paying back now cholin teme'in. The Kohen's allowed to eat cholin teme'in. It's just that he has to wait till he's tameh, and then he's able to eat the cholin teme'in. No problem. So therefore, he didn't know the law that what? That the cholin teme'in turns into terumah teme'ah. Good. So, but the guy's intention is good. So don't you go after the intention. You don't knas a guy where his intention was good. So the Gemara is asking, why are you telling me if he's paying back chulin teme'in that you're going to tell me that it's nothing and he has to pay it again? So let's read that inside. Gemara says, I read again. Vavina ba bemezid en tashlumav tashlumin vibeda chonin temein tavo alad beracha. Should be blessed. Why? Da'achal mine midi dilo kahazir. He ate an item that's not ra'ui for the kohen to eat, only for asaka. Bimetum ato. Ve'kam mishalem midi de kahazir bimetum ato. Now he paid him back an item that when the kohen is going to be tamei, be able to eat the chonin temein. Ve'amar rabba ve'amdila kedi. Kedi was the name of a rabbi. You're right. Hasure mechsera ve'achi ketani. There were some words missing in the braita, and you have to add the following words. Achal teruma teme'a. Same case, he ate teruma teme'a. Mishalem kol dehu. So according to this, he could pay back kol dehu. He pays back anything. Now she says, "Va'afidu chulin teme'in," which means there's no problem. When you eat tameh stuff, you can pay back chulin teme'in, no problem. Achal terumat tehora. Oh, but here's the case. When the guy ate chulin, I'm sorry, terumat that was tehora, mishalim chulin teorin. Then you have to pay back chulin that was teorin. Because what? You ate something that's, you know, that we for the queen to eat, and if we got to pay back, so we for the queen to eat. Shilem cholin temein. Oh, but let's say he messed up, he paid back cholin temein. So we're talking about one specific case now. We're talking about a case where he ate tahor and he's paying back tameh. Sumko somer, mishum Rabbi Meir. Sumko said the name of Rabbi Meir. Beshogeg, tashumav, tashumin. Beshogeg, the payment is going to be considered payment. He made a mistake, he didn't realize that it was temein. Fine, payment is a payment. Bemezid. And tashlumav tashlumin. The payment is not considered a payment. V'achamim omrim ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid tashlumav tashlumin. What he gave, it's counted. Which means the teruma is considered teruma. However, v'chozer u'mishalim cholin teorim. But he's got to repay. Now the Gemara establishes the question. V'ahacha d'midoraita tashlume me'el yahavi. Which is minat Torah. Teruma, or this cholin teme'in that you're paying, becomes teruma teme'ah. Teruma teme'ah in the Torah is considered teruma. And what is Rabbi Meir coming along to say? Rabbi Meir is saying that what? En tashlumav tashlumin. Which means, if he did it b'mezid, en tashlumav tashlumin, which means it doesn't, not considered teruma. How could the rabbis come along and say something that has the status of teruma is now going to be considered non-teruma? That's she. Ha-ha-cham, de-medorayta tashlumin me'elya, ninu. De-cholin teme'in. Now, me de-uyin liot kodesh, like we learned earlier from the name of Rabbi Elahai. Ve'amur Rabbanan, et tashlumav tashlumin bid Rabbi Meir kamotiv. We're asking from Rabbi Meir. Because Rabbi Meir said what? Rabbi Meir is the one that said if you did it be-mezid, et tashlumav tashlumin. Meaning it's not considered terumah. You see, the rabbis that argued on the Bimeir, they said tashlumav tashlumin, it's teruma, but you got to give it again. Okay, that I can understand. That's knas. But to say that the payment is not considered teruma, so you're being oker davar minat Torah. Now, there's tremendous stuff coming out of it. You shouldn't just think, okay, they're saying that an item that is teruma is not teruma. There'll become halachic ramifications from this. I'll give you an example. The Gemara says, de'im mekadesh be'u kohen isha. When we say it's terumah, that means it's the Kohen's property. Meaning, the guy gave him this terumah teme'ah. Right? We gave him cholin teme'in. But what happens when the Kohen gets it? It becomes terumah teme'ah. Good. That becomes the Kohen's property. To the extent he can go now and marry a lady with this. He could tell the lady, Are at mekudeshet li b'terumah teme'ah zu kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. And min ha-Torah tafsi lehu kedusheh. Which is the kedushin is going to be tofes. That lady is going to be an eshet ish. By the rabbi saying that it's not terumah, you know what they're doing? The amu rabbanan en tashlumav tashlumin. They're saying, no, it's not considered terumah, it's not considered yours. The kasharinan eshet ish le'alma. And what ends up happening is, they're saying that this eshet ish min ha-Torah is mutar. So the Gemara is saying, the rabbis have the ability to oker davar min ha-Torah. That's why it's very important to know that condition. It's not standard just saying, okay, a terumah item is not terumah. comes out tremendous ramifications over here. Like the Ishit Ish. So the Gemara says, okay, we have to redefine. My in tashlumav tashlumin the Kaamar Rabbi Meir. When Rabbi Meir said in tashlumav tashlumin, he didn't mean to say that it's not considered teruma. It's got to be teruma. The guy pays chulin to Meir. It's going to be a teruma. So what do you mean in tashlumav tashlumin? The ba'e lemehedar shalume chulin teurin. All he meant is, what you paid the Kohen is not a payment, you got to pay him again. You have to pay him again, Cholin Tehorim. We understood originally, En Tashlum Av Tashlumin means, what you paid him is nothing. It's not if you consider Terumah, you got to start again. That was like, no. What you paid him, you paid him. En Tashlum Av means, you're not going to fulfill your obligation with that payment, you have to pay him Cholin Tehorim. But to that, the Gemara says, what's the difference between the Bimi Ir and the Hakamim? Because Iyake Sumkos Hainu Rabbanan. Meaning, Sumkos that quoted the Bimi Ir is the same opinion as Rabbanan. Because what did the rabbis say? They also said Bimizid. They said, what? Tashlumav Tashlumin. Mean the payment is a payment, but why you have to repay it? So it comes out that the Bimi Ir and the Rabbanan are not arguing in the Mizid case. They're both really saying the same thing. So then what is the argument? So the Gemara says, no, the argument is in the Shogeg. Rabbanan Amar Rabba Chabere. Hi, Rabbanan. Amar Rabba Chabere Rav Ika Kansu Shogeg Atu Mezidika Benayu. The Mahlok is going to argue Kones Shogeg Atu Mezid, which means, according to Rabbi Meir, he's not Kones Shogeg Atu Mezid. He says, if you paid Chulin Temein, you did it b'Shogeg, counts, you're covered, it's okay. Oh, but if you did be mezid, what you paid, you paid. It's teruma, but you gotta pay again. Chulin teorin. Whereas the rabbis come along and say, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, tashluma, tashlumin, what you paid, it's teruma, but what? You gotta pay it again. Now, why would they be so mahmir by the shogeg? Because they gozer shogeg atu mezid. But according to all opinions, nobody's uprooting anything from the Torah over here. Which means what was paid, even the chulin teme'in will remain terumah. Nafkamina, the Kohen could use it to make kadesh himself, and the kedushin is kedushin d'oraita. Nobody's uporting anything over here. So Rav Chasda still did not prove to us a case where he could be oker davar min haTorah. So comes the Gemara now and tries again. Tashema, we have a bright dam shenitma. Okay, you have a Qurban, so we know that the blood from the Qurban you sprinkle on the Mizbeah. So let's say over here you have a situation where the blood of the Qurban became Tameh. Okay, so what happened? Uzrako. But in any event, he sprinkled it on the Mizbeah. So it says, Bishogeg Hurtza. Kohen did it Bishogeg. So then already it's accepted, which means the kapara for the Qurban is accepted. Bimezid, but if he did it Bimezid, meaning he knew the blood was Tameh, he just sprinkled it on the Mizbeah. Lo hurtza. Okay, what do you mean? Ve'acha de midoraita arutzuyem marza. Min haTorah, even blood that's Tameh, that's sprinkled on the Mizbeah, even if it's sprinkled Bimezid, there's kapara. How do we know that? We know the Masechet Yoma. Detanya, alma hasitz mirase. The seats that the Kohen Gadol used to wear, right? That's the headband around his forehead. What was the kapara that the seats used to affect? Al adam, v'al basar, v'al chelev shenitma. Ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid, ben b'ones, ben b'rason, ben b'yachid, ben b'sibur. Which means, why the fact that the Kohen Gadol wears the seats on his forehead, it atones for certain things. Even if a Kohen went b'mezid, and he took the blood that was tameh, and he put it on the Mizbeah, all these cases going to be kapara. Oh, the Amri Rabbanan, lo hurtza. Well, now the rabbis are going to come along and say, no kapara. So you say to yourself, okay, so that's not okay. It's okay to have a Torah, but there's no damage. He was not to be damaged by saying such a thing. Why? Vekahadar me'ayil chulin na'azara. Now, by the rabbi saying that you didn't get kapara for his blood, what's going to end up happening? You have to bring another korban. Min haTorah, this second korban that you're bringing is not necessary. So min haTorah is considered chulin. And therefore, when you're going to tell the guy to bring the next korban, you're bringing chulin into the Beit HaMikdash. Which means, Mina Torah, does he have to bring another Qurban? No, he's covered. The seat was mechaper on this Dam Tameh. Yeah. Rabbis come along and say, no, no good, but you sprinkled over here, no kapara, bring another Qurban. Mina Torah, this second Qurban does not have kiddushah to it. Mina Torah, you're done. So now the rabbis are allowing you to bring Hulin La'azara. So they're, what they're really doing is they're being okay to Mina Torah. So you see over here that the rabbis can be okay to Mina Torah. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Yosef bar Hanina, Mai lo hurtza deka amar. When it said no hurtza, that there's no kapara when you sprinkle the blood, la'atir basar ba'achila. All it meant is that the Kohanim cannot eat the meat of such a korban. Aval ba'alim mitkapirubo, which means for sure kapara you have, and nobody ever said you have to bring another korban, so nobody's being matir cholin la'azara. The kapara is there, but you said lohurza. Lohurza just means that since the blood was tamer, the rabbis don't want you to eat the meat. So the Gemara says, wait, you're still being okay with Amina Torah. Why? Sof, kam mitakira achilat basar. There's a mitzvah from the Torah to eat the basar. Why do you know that? Uchtiv, it says the pasuk, ve'achilum otam asher kupar bahem, melamed shakuanim ochlim, ba'alim mitkaperim. We learned from the pasuk that what? The Kohanim eat from the Qurban, and who gets kapara? The owners. So they were back to the question. But the rabbis came along and said, okay, you know what? If the dam is no good, if it was tamen, they sprinkled it, kapara, yeah, but no eating from the basar. I mean, you're okay, the Vamina Torah. So the Gemara says, Amar le shev al ta'ase shani. Very important rule. Yes, indeed, the rabbis can be okay, the Vamina Torah. If the akira mina Torah is passive, if they're telling you not to do something, which means they're not telling you over here to go proactively do something, they're just telling you sit back, don't do anything. Shev al tase, which means on a mitzvat aseh, they're able to be okay. Because this is a mitzvat aseh, eat the meat. They're telling you, don't eat the meat. Okay, shev al tase, it's one thing if they're telling you go do something. For example, the Torah says, Lo tase, don't do this, and the rabbi's calling and saying, go do it, that's already active. That rabbis don't have the ability to do that. So therefore, in your case, Rav Chazda, what were you saying? You were talking about a case where you have terumah teme'ah, right? And it's terumah teme'ah min Torah. And you're coming along to say that this terumah teme'ah, you're going to say now it's cholin. You're going to say, Lo asah v'lo kilum. That's like you're doing an action. That's already, you're not just saying passively sit back. No, you're taking the terumah off. What do you see you're able to do proactively? Okay, the Vamina Torah. Look at the bottom, Rashi. Shev al ta'ase, lav akirahi. Kegon achilat basar asehi. Vamura banan, shev al ta'ase, shev al tochal. Lav akira biyadayim. Ela mimela, it's just automatic. Meikara, it uproots it. Ava terumah. But the terumah case, you're taking the terumah status off and you're making a cholin. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar le. So the Chazda still got to prove his point. He says, Ba'ai le utbach. I want to ask you some questions. And from the question I'm going to ask you, I'm going to prove to you that you can be okay to Vamina Torah. Number one, the first case I'm bringing you is Aril. What's the case of Aril? So good, that's the second line. Aril. Damar b'pesachim ha-poresh min ha-orla ke-poresh min ha-kever. Which means the rabbis made a law like this. Anybody that was not circumcised, once he circumcises himself, it's like he just came back touching a kever. He needs 7 days purification. Poresh min ha-orla, person removes the orla from himself, it's like he's poresh min ha-kever. It's like he came from a grave. He has 7 days of tuma. Now, the ger shinit kair erev Pesach. Let's give a case. Practical case. Ger came along erev Pesach, and he circumcised himself, right? En shochatin alav. You can't bring a korban. Why? Because you got the 7 day rule. The amar b'gemara ta'amad betele. What's the reason that betele made such a gezera? Gezera shema yitma l'shana haba'a. We're worried like this. Maybe the next year, this convert is going to really become tameh. And what is he going to say? He's going to say, "Well, last year I was tameh. You know, I was a goy last year. I had all the tumah on me. And what? The day I converted, I brought the korban. So to here, and he's not going to realize last year the tumah he was a goy. Goy has no tumah. Once you become Jewish, all that tumah goes away. But now you're Jewish." Now your tumah is problematic. So therefore they made a gezerah on the guy. But what are they doing because of such a gezerah? They're being oker korban pesach. Which means now a goy comes along and he converts on erev pesach min adin, bring the korban immediately. You're circumcised, bring it right away. No, don't bring the korban pesach. Gezerah next year when he's Jewish, he might become to me and say, well, let me bring the korban right away with tumah last year when I was a goy, and what's the business this year? So the rabbis are really coming along with a rabbinical enactment to be oker davar min haTorah. So that's question number one, arel. Question number two, Rav Chisda said, Hazza'ah. What's Hazza'ah? The law of the Torah is, a person becomes tameh, right? The Gemara is going to answer that. The Gemara says now, Hazza'ah. You have a law of a person became tameh. Tameh mit. So he has to get sprinkled. He gets sprinkled on the third day and on the seventh day. Chachamim enacted a law, Hazza'ah on Shabbat is asur. Midrabanan. You can't sprinkle on Shabbat. Why? Because it looks like you're mitaken gabra. You're fixing the guy. It's like a tikkun. Oh, so let's say now the seventh day of his sprinkling came out on Erev Pesach. Right? They needs to be sprinkled. Right? Erev Pesach shahadiyot b'Shabbat. So now what's going to happen over here? No sprinkling. No sprinkling. You can't bring the Korban Pesach. So you see the rabbinical enactment of Azah is being oker Korban Pesach. Number three, Izmal. The law of Izma is a knife. Gemara Shabbat says that let's say they forgot to bring the knife to the Brit Milah on Shabbat. So Gemara says we do not allow them to go even through rabbinical domains like Karmelitz and things like that, Gago, Karfifafon, places like that, in order to get the Milah, to get the knife to the Milah. So the rabbis are instituting laws here that are being okay in mitzvah deoraita of Brit Milah. Number four, Sadin Besisit. We have a law that says that what a person is not allowed to wear sharpness. Torah says, "Lo tadba sharpness." Same in Upishtim Mihdav. But the next pasuk says, "Gidirim ta'aselach." Make for yourself sisiyot. So the Gemara says, "What's the connection between sharpness and sisit?" They teach you that when you're wearing sisit, sharpness rule doesn't apply. Which means you can make a garment that's made out of linen and put woolen strings, and you have no problem. Okay. Oh, but the rabbis came along and said, but you know what, if you have like a sadin is like a sheet that's linen, we don't want you to put any strings on it. Don't put any strings on it. Why? Because we're concerned that you might come to use the sadin at night. Right? And that's called ksut laila. And any item that you use at night is really patur from sisit. If it's patur from sisit, now it's going to turn into sharpness. It's semru pishtim shelobim kom mitzvah. So the rabbis told you, even during the day, the sadin, take off the, don't put the seat on it. What do you mean? So they okay, the Amar Torah. Amar Torah, you have to put the seat on this item. So they're making gezerah, atu ksut laila. Next case, kefseh aseret. Now, this case of kefseh aseret, as she says, kefseh aseret, lo kibalti mirabotai. He starts off saying, I really don't have a kabbalah from my rabbis, what this case is talking about. Mikol makom, what it seems to me, v'kasher adavar, and it seems that it's proper what I'm going to say. Sheshanu b'tosefta umaita masichet betzav gemara perek sheni. Kivse aseret. We're talking about Shavuot. On Shavuot, they brought korban shilamim. These were called kivse aseret. Sheshachatan shelo lishman. But let's say they didn't slaughter it with the right kavanah. They slaughtered shelo lishem korban for Shavuot. Hadam yizarek, the din is the blood, you can still sprinkle on the mizbeach. Vabasar yeachel, and the meat can still be eaten by the kohanim. Why? V'chol ha-sivachim, because we have a rule. Any korban shenizbe'u shelo lishman kesherin. Still kasher. Ela shelo alu le-be'alim l'shem choba. Which means, you don't consider fulfilling your obligation, but the korban is not pasul, it counts. V'arehen keshlamim da'alma, it turns into just a regular korban shelamim. V'imaita Shabbat, oh, let's say it was Shabbat, Shechala Atzir B'Shol, let's say Shavuot landed on Shabbat. V'nitna Shabbat L'tchot Etzel Lishman, which means the Torah will tell you, bring the Kifse Asirit even on Shabbat. If you have Kavanah to bring the Kifse Asirit L'Shem Korban, it's even Duch HaShabbat. What happened to this guy? V'ta'aze. The guy made a mistake. And what happened? V'shagag b'shelo lishman. He had kavanah shelo l'shem kivse'aseret. So what happens on Shabbat? Lo yizrok. Don't sprinkle the blood. V'im zara kurtza. Now, v'akad nizrika b'shabbat shibut pe'almahu. K'deshanin anhatam. Shani shibut shabbat. Which is sprinkling this type of blood on the mizbeach is only yisud rabbanan. Which means if you had kavanah l'shem the korban, sprinkle the ketela, no problem. The only problem in this case is the yisloh rechelo nishma. And therefore, sprinkling such blood on Shabbat will be in Isur Trabanan. Rashi concludes, Veketani lo yizrok. So they're now sprinkling. Ve'akra shivut Trabanan gimel aseh. By instituting this shivut, you're uprooting three mitzvot aseh. What three mitzvot aseh? Dizrikat dam, ud hatkara haktarat emurim, ud achilat basar. Which means, on such a korban, it's a mitzvah to sprinkle the blood. It's a mitzvah to sacrifice the meat. And it's a mitzvah to eat the meat. And what do you tell me? Not rabbinical item? Don't sprinkle. Stop. So you mean, okay, three mitzvot aseh by kivseh aseret. So let's repeat the case of kivseh aseret. The guy came on Shavuot, shechal yom b'Shabbat. Kohen, can he bring kivseh aseret? Vadai, he has to bring kivseh aseret. What happened? Instead of storing it, l'shem kivseh aseret, he stored it, shino l'shma. Oh, so what happens? This kafsah aser turns into a regular korban shadamim. And what's the law? Sprinkle, bring it on the mizbeach, eat, no problem. Rabbis came along and said, no, you can't sprinkle in such a case. By saying you can't sprinkle in such a case, you're going against Torah that says you can sprinkle, you can be maktir, and you can eat. So that's the next case. Vishofar vinulav. Shofar Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbat. According to the Torah law, you blow shofar. Hakamim came along and said, Shabbat, no shofar. Why? You might come to carry the shofar to go learn how to blow it. Oh, lulav. First day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbat. Minat Torah, take the lulav. Hakamim came along and said, no lulav. So the Hazda is showing you all cases of it. The rabbis were okay. The Vamanat Torah. So Gemara says, "Hashta deshanit lan sheval taase lo me'akeru kolehu name sheval taaseinu." Once I gave you the sheval taase law, all of these faltered sheval taase. So there was no proof to these cases. Let's review quickly. When it came to the case of Arel, what did they tell me? Don't bring Korban Pesach. Sheval taase. When it came to the case of Hazaa, don't bring Korban Pesach. Ismail, don't do the Brit Milah. Sedim b'sisit, don't put sisit. Kivseh aseret, don't bring the korban, don't sprinkle. Shofar, don't blow shofar, don't shake the lulav. Those are all passive. They're telling the guy, sit back. So if we have no raya, we're looking for a case of that you could be okir. Biyadayim, proactively, not the sheval taaseh. Comes again when it says, tashema elav tishma'un. We have a braita that says, if you have a Navi emit, that comes along and tells us a law, you must listen to the Navi Emet. To what extent? Even if the Navi Emet comes along and says, transgress one of the laws of the Torah, kegon Eliyahu b'Hara Karmel. For example, in Eliyahu b'Hara Karmel, he had that that bout against the Nevi'a Baal. So what did he do on the top of the mountain? He built the Mizbeah. And he brought a korban on the mizbeach. What are you talking about? The Beit HaMikdash was around in Eliyahu Navi's time. How could they bring a korban outside of the mizbeach? So hayuv karet. Ela what? The Navi Emet comes and tells you to do something, even if it's against the Torah, you listen. Oh, hakol. So the Gemara says, afidu kegon Eliyahu b'Hara Karmel. Hakol lefi sha'a. Shema'lo, which is according to the need, according to the time, you listen to him. So what do you see but? A rabbi, like a prophet, has the ability to be okir, davar min ha-Torah. Torah says you can't bring a korban on a bama when there's a Beit HaMikdash. Eliyahu Navi comes and says do it, you listen to him. Ah, you see the okir, davar min ha-Torah, and that's bikum va'aseh, bring a korban. Kabbara says, shani hatam dikhtiv elav tishma'un. There you have a special gizrat katuf. If you're a prophet, you have this dispensation. So the Gemara says, "V'ligmar mine." So why don't you learn from it? Let that be the binyan ab, which is learn from a prophet. It's like he could do it. Any rabbi could do it. Gemara says, "No, migdar milta shani." To build a fence, a protective fence, is different. What does that mean? Rashi. Let's start from Eliyahu b'Hara Karmel. Shekri bebama v'shat isur babot taita v'ika karet. the shchut teirutz v'karet da'ala. Two things: you're bringing a korban outside the Beit Hamikdash and you're sacrificing it. Migdar milta lasot geder v'takana ki atam sheshivan al yedekin ma'avodat kuchavim. That was a special case over there. The Jewish people worshipping Avodah Zarah. Eliyahu Navi had to make a special fence in order to get the people to stop worshipping Avodah Zarah. So you can't learn from an exceptional case where Klai Yisrael was worshipping Avodah Zarah to say now, any time the rabbis want to come along, there could be okay the Ramana Torah. That was unique. Don't learn from there. That was in order to stop the people from Avodah Zarah. So comes the Gemara and says, so far we haven't brought a proof. Gemara says, Tashema betelo mevutal devre rabbi. What does this mean, betelo mevutal? Rashi. Baal sheshalach get leishto. Husband sent a divorce to his wife. The paper, the divorce paper. Vekadam uba etzla. But then he beat the messenger and he tells the wife, listen, the get that's going to be sent to you, I'm nullifying it. Or she shalach la shaliyah, or he sent a messenger to get to her first. Ve'amar la get she shalachti lach batelu. So the deen is are ze batel. The husband has a right to mevatel the get before he gets the utnan. Barishona ya ose bet din bimkom acher batelo. Ve'lo aya modiyala. Originally, the original tekana was, he's able just to get stand in front of three people. He sent the get, right? Before the get gets to his wife, he's able to go in front of three people and say, listen, that get that I sent, batel umbutal. And it was considered batel. Even if he didn't go directly to his wife. That was the original takana. But what happened? Hitkin laban gamalila zaken shelo yu osinken. Why? Mepene tikun ha'olam. What was happening? The zimnin, the mevatel, because what was happening sometimes, he was being mevatel the get, she didn't find out about it. Velo yada ve'inseba, she got married. Ubanea mamzerim. And her children becoming mamzerim. So the rabbis made a new takana. Rabotai, no more being mevatel in front of Betin. You gotta go to the lady, so she's gotta know firsthand. Okay, now look at the new Rashi. Ve'alatani, on that takana is the context of the following statement. Bitlo leget lefne betin b'mkom acher achar takrat Rabban Gamliel mevutal, which means the first shita comes along and says bitlo if he went against the takrat of the hakamim, and he went in front of three guys after he sent the get, he said, listen, the get is mevutal, so it says bitlo mevutal, so the get is going to be mevutal. That means really what, they're still married. Devre Rabbi, Rabban Shimon Gamliel Omer, Eno Yachol, Lo Lebatelo, Velo Lehosif Al Tanao. Which means you can't do anything. You cannot mevatel the get in front of three people, nor can you add any more conditions. For example, you say, you know, on the condition that she, it's too late. Once you dispatch the get, you can't do anything outside from going to the lady yourself. You know why? Because he says a good logic. If you can already tell me that what? You could be mevatel the get in front of three, let's say, suppose the whole takanam the hakamim. You uprooted the whole thing of the rabbis. The rabbis came along and said, you can't do it. And now you come along and say, but if you did it, it's okay. So what did the rabbis gain? They made a takana, and you come along and say, and even further, takana doesn't matter. The get is considered batel. Okay. Oh, so the Gemara says, V'ahacha d'midoraita batel get. Midoraita, nobody argues, the get is batel. When he goes in front of three people, we're saying what? Midoraita, the get is batel, they're still married. ומשום מה כוח בדין כשרין אין אשת איש לעלמה. And just because of this sevara that you're saying, oh, we don't want to go against the rabbinical enactment, what are you doing? You're going against the Torah enactment, and therefore you're being matir in eshet ish now le'alma. Let's review. According to the rabbinical enactment, is the get?
Yes.
Yes. You can't mevatel in front of Betin. So therefore, midrabbanan, this lady over here is divorced. She's going to go now, get married. However, minat Torah, she's still married. You're allowed to be mevatel. So therefore, what did the rabbi say? The rabbi said, a bee said, you know something?
What?
And the Bakiva, how could you tell me over there the get is not batel? You're going to go against the rabbinic law. Imken makoach betin yafeh. I said, what do you see? If you're going to say, imken makoach betin yafeh, what you're doing is you're telling the lady over here, when you went in front of the three, you're going to come along and say, what? Since the rabbi said, ere mevutal, you're still married. But in the Torah, she's not married. So now you're being matir and eshet ish la'alma. Again, review. According to rabbinical law, are you allowed to go stand in front of three people and say, get this batel?
Yes.
According to rabbinic law. According to rabbinic law, you're not allowed. According to the Torah law, you're allowed, but the rabbi saw problems with coming out of it. So he said, even if you go in front of three guys and you tell them to get this batel, it's not batel, they're still married. Good. So now, if they're still married, and what happened over here? We have a statement in the name of Rabban Shimon Ben Gamliel. He said like this, actually he said, Bitlo mevutal devre Rabbi. Rabbi came along and said, Bitlo mevutal. That if he went and it was mevatel the get, they're still considered married. He was mevatel the get, and then he's mevatel the get. And therefore, if you never tell the get, they're still married. Oh, so came Rabban Shimon and said, how could you say that? You're going against the rabbinical enactment. The rabbi said that when you go in front of three, it does nothing. The get is still hal, and therefore, she's free. Oh, so the Kabbalah says, what is the rabbinical enactment doing over here? What it's doing is, it's overriding the Torah law. Because according to the rabbinical argument, you're telling me what? She's free, but according to that, she's really considered an eshet ish. So you're being matir eshet ish la'alma. So the Gemara says, Ma'an de mekadesh, adalta de rabbanan mekadesh. We have a rule. Anybody that gets married al da'at the hachamim. Like we say, Ariat Mekudesh Metabazu Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael. Kedat Moshe V'Yisrael means according to the laws of Moshe, that means the rabbinical laws. Ve'afkinu Rabbanan the Kedushin. The rabbis have the ability to be mafkia Kedushin. They have the ability to uproot the Kedushin. Which means you're right. According to the Torah law, let's say, when the guy says, I'm mevatel the get, he has the right to mevatel the get. But the rabbis have an ability to uproot kiddushin. Now, let's discuss the mechanics, how they can uproot a kiddushin. When a guy gives money, let's say, to a lady, makes kiddushin bekesef. Okay? Didn't we learn yesterday that the rabbis have a power that's given to them by the Torah of hefker betin hefker? Hefker betin hefker is the ability of the rabbis to come along and say that the money of such and so is hefker. And they even have the ability to take the money from one person and give it to another person. That's a Torah law. Which is in, it really comes out. There are certain cases where the rabbis do have an ability to be okir. In monetary cases, they have that hefker betin hefker law. So in the case of the kiddushin, they could use that same hefker betin hefker law. When a guy comes along and gives a kiddushin, right? So now you're going to come and now he goes in front of three guys. And then he says, the get to his wife, right? Gets on the way there. He goes in front of three guys and says, the get that I'm telling, sending to my wife is batel. Minat Torah, you're right. The get is batel, they stay married. Rabbis come along and say it's nothing. The get is a get. How can they do that? Because they're able to say that the kiddushin was never a kiddushin. Because they can come along and say that money that he gave, what made that money hefker? It wasn't his money. They're able to uproot the kiddushin and say hefker betin hefker. Because anybody that gets married, you're getting married according to what the rabbis tell you. And therefore they can be okay the kiddushin the mafreya by saying that the money was not, they're not married over there. That's why you can come along and say, she can go get married to somebody else. Your question, how can she get married to somebody else? Ishit ish. It's not ishit ish. The rabbis can always be okay the kiddushin the mafreya based on the hefker betin hefker law, because they can take the money away, and you have no problem. So the Gemara says, Amar le rabina le rav asher, hati nach de kaddish mekasba. That's good in the case where you make kiddushin with money. But there's other ways to make kiddushin. Kaddish b'biyah ma'ika le'mimar. What do you do when the guy made the kiddushin with biyah? So the Gemara says, still the rabbis have a power. Shaviyua rabbanan de'ilato be'ilat zenut. Which means retroactively, the rabbis can come along and say, since you got made kiddushin on our da'at, so we're going to come along and say that biyah that you made is biyah zenut. which means we're not going to say it was bi'at kiddushin, and therefore turns it to a surah, fine, but what, at least she's not considered married. She's not even able to uproot the kiddushin that was done with a bi'ah. Look at Rashi. Rashi says Hatinach, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines after they get wide. Hatinach, kadish b'kaspa. Ika lememar, afki'ata d'shavinu l'ma'ot matana. Right, you can say that the money is was hefker, and therefore it wasn't considered a kiddushin. Kadish b'bi'ah, my afki'in, ika lememar. Ha'bi'ah, my shavinu, what are you going to do with that bi'ah? Since when everybody gets married, they do it according to the approval of the rabbis. And the rabbi said, but when you give such a get like this, the get is not going to be hal. Right? The rabbis tell that when you go in front of the bet, you say, batel get. We're not going to say it's batel, which is the get is going to be effective. So I'll say tebatel bi'ad teve bi'ilat zinut. I'm going to say that what? That the bi'ah was bi'ad zinut, and therefore they were not considered married. Therefore, no problem. She can get the marriage. Which means the rabbis have power to mevatel not only the kesef, they can mevatel even retroactively bi'ah. So Gemara says, Tashema Amar b'Elazar ben Yaakov, Shamati shebetin makin ve'onshin shlo min ha'Torah. As I heard, that betin has the ability to give malkut and even sometimes death penalties shlo min ha'Torah, even if it's not according to the Torah law. Ve'lo la'avor al dever Torah, hashem, not to go against the Torah, ela la'asot siyak the Torah, or to fence the Torah. U'maaseh ba'adam echad shelechav asus b'shabbat. There was a certain guy that went and he was riding on a horse on Shabbat, b'mei Yevanim, in the times of the Greeks. Now you have to point out that riding on a horse on Shabbat is only a suit of a banan. That you might come to pull a branch off a tree and use it as a whip. So the Gemara says, v'bi'um de betin, they brought the guy to betin, v'sakluhu, and they stoned him to death. Lo mepnesh ra'u lekach, not because he was ra'u lekach, he deserved it, ela shasha'a siricha lekach, because at the time when the Greeks were persecuting the Jewish people, religious persecution, so therefore we had to be stringent on any transgression, even if it was a minor transgression, in order to keep the law intact. So therefore you see what? The rabbis have an ability to be, okay, I'm not Torah, there's no death penalty for this, but what? In order to keep the Torah protected, they're able to do such a thing. So comes the Gemara and says, right, the people were, she says, parutz ba'avira, so they had to protect. Veshu ma'aseh ba'adam echad she'tiyach be'ishto tachat ha'te'ena. There was a certain guy, he had inappropriate relations with his wife under a fig tree, which means in public. Ve'bi'u the betin, because it's in public, it's not modest. And therefore they brought him in front of betin, ve'ilku, and they gave him lashes. No, it's his wife. It's not asur, but because the time needed, because the people were perutzim ba'avera, so therefore they punished even things that were not punishable by the Torah. So the Gemara says, no proof. Megdar miltashani. This is different, which means when the hakamim see that there's an overriding necessity in order to make a fence, in order to protect the law, fine. But you're coming along now, Stan, just to. Okay, the Ramana Torah to say that something is teruma, is not teruma, stuff like that. That's the way we need to remember the power. She said, in the case where there's a crisis, like in the times of the Ivanim, where it was Dor Parutz, Migdar Mutah, that's for the generation. That's for something for, you know, to protect. But the stamp to be, okay, the Ramana Torah, you know, have a Dayan, the Sugya ends here. So really, Rav Chazdad did not successfully prove that he could be okay, the Ramana Torah, Bekum Ba'aseh. The Gemara went as far as to say, Hefker Betin Hefker works. They went as far as to say, in a Sheva Al Ta'aseh, it can be okay. That's like Lulav and Shofar in those cases. But more than that, the Gemara concludes that you really would not be able to be okay. Davam Naturah Bekum Ve'aseh. Comes the Gemara and continues. Back to the Mishnah. Ve'lo Zev Azim Etame'in La. Can we go back to the case? You have a Edehad. Edehad came along and said, Med Ba'alech. On a katarat, Betin allowed this lady to go get married. She went and got married to another guy. The husband resurfaced. So what do we say when she dies, if their husbands, either one of them are kohanim, they do not mitameh. Normally a kohen is mitameh for his wife. But in this case over here, they do not mitameh. Why? Minalan, tichtiv, ki im nishero akarov elav. One pasuk says that a Kohen is able to be Metameh for She'ero. Who is She'ero? The Amar Mor, She'ero Zu Ishto. That a Kohen can be Metameh for his wife. But we have another book that says, Uktiv Lo Yitama Baal Be'amav Le'halo. That a Kohen cannot be Metameh Le'halo for his wife. So make up your mind. Can a Kohen Ye Metameh or not Metameh for his wife? So it says, Yesh Baal She Metameh, Yesh Baal She Metameh. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Haketzad, Metamehu Le'ishto Kesherah. But in this case over here, it's considered ishto pesula, because now the first guy was married, that was a good marriage, but now she went with another guy. It's eshet ish, because even though she had a heter from betin, but we said she should have been daikum insula, she should have investigated, because there was only one witness. So therefore now she's really pasul to the first husband, she cannot go back to the first husband. So therefore the Torah says, lo yitama baal be'amav le'halo. In the case where the husband, where the wife is pasul to him, she cannot be mitameh. To the second guy also, it's considered eshet ish. So therefore in this case over here, even though they're kohanim and she dies, they do not mitameh based on the pesukim. We said also that what, as a result of this case, let's say the lady in the interim finds now a lost object. Well, normally a lost object goes to the husband. But in this case over here, the lost object does not go to either of the husbands. What's the reason why normally we say that a lost object that's found by the lady, it goes to the husband? Because we don't want to cause strife between the husband and the wife. Because the husband is supporting the wife, and now she's going to keep her own mitziot. So therefore, to keep peace in the family, we say all the mitziot go to the husband. But over here, it's the opposite. Haka teve le eva ve eva. Here, we want to create strife, because we want them to break up, we want them to separate. So therefore, on the contrary, by saying that she keeps the mitziah, it'll be another reason why the husband will get rid of her. Normally, if a lady works, the law is that all the money that she gets from working goes to the husband, because the husband supports her with all the obligations that he has in a ketubah. So it says, because she eats mizonot from the husband, so therefore the husband gets the ma'asiyadeh. Hacha kevad mizoneh letla ma'asiyadeh lavdideh. But over here, there's no mizonot, like we know, because she loses all the rights of ketubah. And one of the rights of ketubah is mizonot. So since she doesn't get mizonot from the husband, she gets to keep her ma'asiyadeh. Ve'lo mefenedareh, which means she does not now, the husband is not allowed to be mefen nedarim, which normally a husband is able to mefen nedarim. For example, let's say a lady makes a vow that she's not going to put on makeup anymore. So therefore, the husband right away, there's a disadvantage. Or she says, I'm not going to bathe anymore. So the husband right away is able to make a hafarat darim to nullify the vow. The Torah gave him that power. So the Gemara says, Ta'ama mayama nachmana ba'al mefer. What's the reason why the Torah gives the power to the husband to make a hafarat darim? Kedesh lo tetkaneh. So she doesn't become repulsive to him, because she can start making all types of the nedarim. She'll threaten him, I'm not putting on any makeup, I'm not getting a bathing anymore. So we say, you know what, the husband has the rights to nullify. But hacha titganeh v'titganeh. Here we say, let her become repulsive, because we want her to get rid of. We want the wanting to get rid of her. So therefore, on the contrary, this will be an incentive to get rid of her. Let's continue. Vayta bat Yisrael nefselet min akeuna. Which is, if she's a bat Yisrael, she becomes pesula from the keuna. What's the reason over here? Because now she went, she's eshet ish, she's in da. So therefore she's obviously pasul to go with now a kohen. So it continues, Gemara says, peshita, which means, what's the question? She went with eshet, she's eshet ish, she's in da. I need a mishnah to tell me that she cannot go with a kohen. So the Gemara comes along and says, bat levi min ha-ma'asir itzterikale. The hadush of the mishnah is that we said, a bat levi, that this happened to, she's going to be pesula to eat ma'asir. I understand normally by bat kohen, which means you want to tell me she's pesula to kuna, I can understand that she loses her rights to eat terumah. We've seen that if let's say a bat kohen has znut, fine, so she could lose her rights to get terumah. But now you tell me a new hadush, that a bat levi, that went in this case over here, and she went with the second guy, based on the testimony of a witness, she's going to lose her ability to eat now. Maaseri shot. The Gemara says, "Bat nevi min a maaseri tzrichale." So the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Bat nevi min a maaser mi mifsela biznut?" There's a bat nevi. We don't. Kohen. Bat kohen is in Yanav Snut, but there's a bat nevi through Znut loses her maaser. Vatanya, we have a clear case in the Braita. Livia shenishbit. Let's say you have a Livia, but maybe she got caught into captivity by the Goyim. And you assume that the Goyim violated her in the captivity. Or shenibaila baila Znut. Or let's say she went with Vadaut and she committed Znut with somebody. Notnim la maaser veocheret. She still eats ma'asir, which means there's no deen of losing ma'asir on a bat levi that committed zlut. Kamara says, Amar Rav Sheshad, kenasa. This case is kenas, which means, you're right, in the Torah she could eat ma'asir. But what? In this case, we're konesa, because she should have been daika min seba. She should have investigated before she got married to the second guy. Which means like this, if she went into captivity, or she committed a vadai zlut, she could eat ma'asir. But in this case over here, where she should have been daika mitzvah, she can't eat maaser. Does that make any sense? Well, if she went with vadai znut, she can eat. In this case over here, because she had a heter from bet, and you tell me it's worse. So the Mefashim explained, the rabbis only make gezerot on cases that are shchiyah. In cases that are not shchiyah, they're not going to be gozer. So for a bat levi to go b'mezid with somebody, that's not a shkiyah case. So therefore, we're not going to penalize against the ma'asir. However, in this case, it can happen, which means one witness comes along and says, met ba'alich, and the betin says she can get married. So since this is more of a shkiyah case, the rabbis came along and they penalized and said, what? Since you weren't medayek when you got married, therefore you're going to lose the ma'asir. So it's a tremendous chadush. Not only does a bat kohen lose terumah v'znut, but a bat levi in this case also will lose her rights to eat. Look at the top of that. She's over. Pshita zonai leviyah shenishbit v'ashinat shem nevi'ala le'ovet kukavim or shenevi'ala be'ilat znut kegol le'ovdei kukavim ve'ayved v'halal. She had a relationship with someone that's asurta. V'chol anak tamar ba'amana l'kohen gadol. The mifsela be'u bat kohen mitrumah, which is whatever would make a bat kohen Pesula le truma, so gabe levi alo pasle me maaser. By bat levi, it's not going to posela from maaser. Okay, comes the Gemara and continues. Bat kohen mina teruma. When you said it, a bat kohen, she's going to be forbidden to teruma. The Gemara says, well, isn't that obviously? Of course, she's a pesula. So Gemara says, afilu betruma drabanan. Even if the teruma is only midrabanan, still it's going to be forbidden. Nashi betruma drabanan. Diilu betruma deorait. Alo itzterich lemitni. You have to tell me that she loses teruma deorait. Dekevan dekansua maaser kol shekena teruma. If you tell me that we gozer on the bat levi that she loses her maaser, certainly the bat kohen is going to lose her. Teruma. The explanation is she loses even teruma. Bedrabanan. Baruch Anu Ali Odam. Amen. Amen.